John chapter 14. The message today is Christ's three appearings. Remember, last Lord's Day, I told you about Christ's appearings during the 40 days after his resurrection. Today, I want to tell you about the three appearings that are put together in the scripture, not including the 40 days of his resurrection. So John chapter 14, first of all. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, chapter 16. Verse 5. But now I go unto him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have spoken these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. Now, verse 28. I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. What could be plainer? Once more, I came out from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. Now, Hebrews 9. Because in this one chapter, in the compass of five verses, we have all three appearings. Listen to them. Verse 24. For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in passing to the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear before the face of God for us, nor yet that he should often offer himself, as the high priest entereth into the holy place, year by year with blood not his own, else must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time, apart from sin, to them that wait for him, unto salvation. Notice, verse 24, appear. Verse 26, appear. Verse 28, appear. More as we go along. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the plans and all the arrangements that you have made for the world. Some of them, Father, you are determined to take place, and others you would have to take place, but they will not, And this morning, we pray that we shall understand somewhat about the three appearings that we've read concerning your Son. Lord, let us know that our minds are so vague and uncertain about his coming, his going, his returning. But we pray that, as his disciples said when he spoke to them at the last, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly and not in a dark saying. Now we believe." We pray, our God, that this shall be our confession this morning after this hour of consideration. So bless us to that end by empowering him that speaks, by preparing the hearts of those who are listening. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Three appearings. His appearing in the past, his appearing in the present, and his appearing in the future. Listen to them carefully. It says that Christ, first of all, at his first appearance, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. His second appearance, it says this, now he is appearing in the presence of God for us. That's the second appearing. And it said, to those that wait for him shall he appear a second time, apart from sin, unto salvation for those that are waiting for him. Christ's appearance in the past, his appearance in the present, and his appearance in the future. Now, I want to tell you about this future appearance of Christ, that it is described in various ways, but though the descriptions are different, it is the same event. When the Bible speaks about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it speaks of the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it speaks of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it speaks of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these are talking about one aspect of the same three events, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this at the first. In Hebrews 9, you have three different words. In our King James Bibles, they are all translated the same way, by appear, appearing, he appeared. But they're three different words. Two of them are similar. One of them the same word with a preposition. The other one is a different word. But the basic meaning of the appearing of the Lord is shining forth. The other one is seeing with the eye. And so the appearing of the Lord has to do with our seeing him with our eye. It has to do with his shining forth. But all of them tell us of the same thing, because it says the coming of the Lord, and his coming makes him present with us, and his first coming was the incarnation. Listen to that word a moment. Incarnation. It simply means this. It says in John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word was made flesh, he was incarnate. He became man. Like the Israelites were partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. And so if you hear that big word, the incarnation, it simply means, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, when he was born, that is the incarnation. And the incarnation was his first coming, his first appearing. It says this, that Christ appeared the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So when he appeared the first time, there were responsibilities placed upon him, and the primary responsibility was to take away sin, to put away sin. And that is the first one that is to be considered. The second is this. I read it to you in John's Gospel. He said that he was going back to the Father. And he was going back to the Father, we are told in Hebrews 9, to appear in the presence of God for us. And then it speaks about some people that are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back from heaven. And it says, he is going to appear unto us for salvation, the ones who are waiting for him. You say, to appear for salvation? Yes. I'm not completely saved now. There are many things that God has to do to complete the salvation that he has begun in me when I first trusted him as my Savior. There are ever so many things that God has to do. And when he comes back again, it is for those that wait for him. And when he comes, it will be for the completion of the salvation that he has begun in us. Let me tell you something that is ever so interesting. If you ask me, am I saved? I would tell you yes. If you ask me, are you being saved? I will tell you yes. And if you ask me, well, are you going to be saved? I will tell you yes. And the Bible teaches all three. First of all, when I trusted Christ as Savior, I was saved. And right now, the Spirit of God is working in me, and I am also being saved, day by day, kept from sin, day by day, conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, in a coming day when the Lord returns, I am going to be saved completely. He's going to deliver me out of this present evil world. And then the earnest of his salvation, that is ours already, for the ones that are waiting for him, like when the tabernacle was erected. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in with the blood of the sacrifice, and he would sprinkle that blood, and the people who were dependent upon the sprinkling of that blood for all their sins to be covered for the year. They were waiting outside for his coming again. And when he came again, then they knew that God had accepted his sacrifice and their sins were covered. And so, in like manner, that Christ has appeared the first time for the purpose of taking away our sins, putting away our sins, well, who knows whether it's true? Christ has died on the cross, but he has been raised from the dead the third day. And he has gone into heaven, and it says he is in the presence of God for us. Please notice now, the first time that Christ appeared, it was not for a specific group of people only. It was for all mankind. Listen to the way it's put in Titus chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared. If you want to read it this way, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men bringing salvation. But think, if it has appeared unto all men, not all men have seen it, but if it appeared for all men to derive the benefit of it, that is another thing. But it says in Titus chapter 2 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And so the purpose of Christ's appearing the first time is to bring salvation. And that salvation was brought to all men. Who are those who say that God's salvation was just brought to a few? Over and over we read these words, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And he that heareth, let him say, Come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared for the benefit of all men, and it brought salvation to all men. Will you receive that salvation that God has provided for you in his Son? He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so all of you, saved or lost, the coming of Christ the first time was to put away sin. That included you. But what he tells us now about his appearing in heaven, it says, he is appearing in the presence of God for us. Now, there is nothing special in that that is mentioned concerning you who are lost. The Lord Jesus is not appearing in the presence of God for you in the same sense that he's appearing for me. He is in the presence of God indeed. He is interceding there. He is waiting there. And as long as he patiently waits in heaven, you have this opportunity to be saved. But it said he specifically went back to heaven to appear in the presence of God for us. And what is so beautiful is this. The word presence, to appear in the presence of God for us, is the same word that is translated again and again, face. He has gone to heaven to appear before the face of God for us. God's face is looking into the face of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he looks into his Son's face, the Son is speaking in behalf of you who have trusted him as Savior. He's appearing in the presence of God, before the face of God, for us. And he has told us this, he's coming back again. But he's coming back again, and that coming is not for you who have not received him as Savior, but only for those who have received him as Savior. Listen, having come, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So then he starts working with a special class of people, the ones who have received him at his coming. And once he goes back to heaven, he starts speaking in particular of those and what he is going to do for those who have trusted him as Savior. Listen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, he didn't mention any unsaved there. No, because there's not one of you who have never trusted Christ as Savior that are going to be with him in heaven. He's doing nothing for you in heaven the way that he's doing for us who have trusted him, the things that he's doing for us in heaven. It's put this way in the book of Hebrews. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Thank God, I'm going to remain a child of God because I have a priest that liveth forever, and he ever lives to make intercession for me. I laugh at those dear Christians who may have trusted Christ as Savior, but they are wondering if they'll endure to the end. They are wondering if they can keep themselves saved. Well, let me answer that question for you in one word. No, you cannot keep yourself saved. When Peter was boasting to the Lord Jesus that though everybody else was going to forsake him, abandon him, he said, I will go to prison and I will die before I deny you. And he denied the Lord three times. And the Savior said to him, I have made supplication for thee that your faith fail not. And so why Peter's faith did not fail completely was because the Lord Jesus on earth had begun to do what he is going to do forever in heaven. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And so if you ask me, are you going to endure to the end? Amen. Why? because my Savior is ever living to make intercession for me. His intercessory work is spoken of also in the first epistle of John. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate is one who goes and stands at the right hand of one from whom you need help. And the Lord Jesus is in the presence of God for us. He's before the face of God for us. He is our advocate. He stands before God and looks him in the face, and he is taking our place. He is pleading our cause. And that is the thing that is thrilling, knowing about what Christ's appearing is now. He appears in the presence of God for us, before the face of God for us. And when he comes back again, it is for his own. Now, I want to ask you this question. If you were with Christ when he appeared the first time, what would you have done had you seen Christ and heard him speak and looked upon the miracles that he performed? What would you have done with Christ at that time had you been living on earth when he came from heaven? You would have done the same thing that you're doing now if you've not trusted in this Christ. You say, how do you know that? Because the Lord Jesus has already told us. He says concerning some in Matthew 23, he said, there are some of you who say this, if we had been living, now notice, they are putting themselves back in a past time. If we had been living when the prophets were on earth and our fathers put them to death, we would have had nothing to do with the murder of the prophets in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus said this, you said they were your fathers, well, you are their offspring, and I call you an offspring of vipers. He said, your fathers put the prophets to death, but what you do is this. You build them tombs, and you build sepulchres, and you go and pay honors to them. He said, but all of it is artificial, it is pretentious. He said, you hypocrites, he said, you are going to do the same thing to me that your fathers did to the earlier prophets. Now that's what you would have done had you been living when Christ was on earth the first time. If you haven't trusted him now, you would do the same thing that they did to him then. You say, how can Christ know that? He tells us this again and again. Listen. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works were done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. He knows what people would have passed, and he knows what people are going to do in the present, and he knows what is going to happen in the future. And he says to those that are speaking such glorious words about our fathers and the treatment they gave to the prophets, he says, you're going to do the same thing, and all of your honoring the tombs and the sepulchres of the prophets and the righteous men, he said, they are hypocritical acts because you have not the love of God in your hearts. And so if the Lord Jesus were on earth and you had seen everything that he did, as Peter, Andrew, James, and John did, as Judas Iscariot did, what they did then, you will do now. Think of this. The Savior tells us he's coming again. And I have been emphasizing that what he is doing now, his appearance in heaven, especially for the redeemed, those to whom he came and his own received him not, but as many as received him, those that have received him, he's doing something special for them in heaven. He's interceding. He is maintaining our salvation. He is filling our hearts with hope. But I ask you, what would you have done had you been living when Jesus came to earth the first time? The same thing that you're doing now, when Jesus is appearing in heaven. But I'm not going to ask you what you're going to be doing when Jesus comes the second time, because you're going to do nothing, absolutely nothing. Because when he came the first time, I told you last week on Palm Sunday, that when the Lord Jesus came, the multitude saw him coming and they said, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, peace in heaven." That's what they said when he came the first time. And some of them saw him and they spoke those words. But I told you what words they spoke 5 days later. Pilate said, "What shall I do with Jesus that is the Christ? Crucify him." And so that they went through all the motions on Palm Sunday and spoke the words of acclamation on that Sunday. It meant nothing because on Friday, when the question was asked, "What shall I do with Jesus that is the Christ?" And they said, "Crucify him." And so it's not what you say, but it is the position that you take, the stand that you take, and that you are determined, even at the cost of your life, to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so what are you going to do when Jesus comes? You're not even going to have a chance to join in with the multitudes that did the first time when he appeared. When he appears this last time, there is no decision that you make then. The decision has already been made. The Lord Jesus speaks this way, and it's a terrifying thought. He said, when once the door is shut, and you begin to knock on that door and say, "Let me in." And he's going to say, "Not at all. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The terrible thing is this. You're not going to do anything when Jesus comes the second time. When the door is shut, there's nothing that you can do. There are no prayers that you can utter. I remember that rich man in hell. The only prayer that he uttered was for a drop of water to his tongue, and that wasn't given to him. And so what are you going to do when Jesus comes the last time? When he comes to appear for us that are waiting for him unto salvation? It says this, that he is going to come and destroy all his enemies with the sword that proceeded out of his mouth. When Christ comes that last time, when he appears on earth that last time, he is coming to destroy men and not save men. He is coming to do away with the tares, and he is coming to gather the wheat. It is not the time then of deciding, shall I trust Christ or shall I reject Christ? The decision has been made. And that is why the Bible tells you, now is the day of salvation. This is why the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To neglect salvation, to reject salvation, if it continues until the time that Christ appears for his own to give them that full salvation, then it is too late. There will be no salvation. But understand this, that now, and you thank God for this, that he's appearing in the presence of God for the Christians, but there is this period of waiting. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. That is why he hasn't come back from heaven. We Christians are praying, "Come, Lord Jesus," and the Lord Jesus is not coming. Why? Because he's not slack concerning his promise, and he is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want you to perish. And that's why he's waiting in heaven. But the time is going to come when he is no longer going to wait. And when all the mockery of those that are asking, where is the promise of his coming? Do you realize that today there is ever so much interest in the world, in television, in the media? They are interested about the coming of the Lord. They're having interviews with those that are writing books about the coming of the Lord. Peter Jennings is talking about the crucifixion of the Lord. All of these things are points of interest. But what is going to happen is this. The time is going to come when God's Son says, I've waited long enough. The Father has said to him at his right hand, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And the Lord Jesus in the coming day is going to say, now I want my kingdom. I want what you promised me, mine inheritance. And at that moment, he's going to come from heaven. And when he does, all of these decisions that you could make have been terminated. And the decision that you have made before that time is going to determine whether you're among those that Jesus comes to take to heaven with him, or those that he leaves that you are lost. The second coming of Christ is for destruction. There is the Antichrist that is going to be present, and the Lord Jesus is going to come and destroy the Antichrist, and the Lord Jesus is going to destroy all of his enemies. His long-suffering, this is what it says in Romans 2. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after you are hardened and impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. And when Jesus comes back, it is the day of wrath for all of you who are lost. And now he's appearing in the presence of God for us. But for us who are saved, I rejoice in this. Listen to it. The first time he came, beautiful words for you. It says, the love and kindness of God when Christ appeared. That's beautiful. God commended his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the love of God. But for us who are Christians, his coming is a beautiful thought. It says this, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It tells us that now we died and our life is hid with Christ in God. But when Christ shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And so for us, waiting for the coming of Christ is a blessed anticipation. But for the rest, it is something that is a horrible thing to conceive of. And God has told us, when once the door has been shut, it says, today is the day of salvation. And the words like this, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The Lord Jesus now is appearing in the presence of God for us. But the Lord Jesus is going to appear, and it says, when he comes back again, it's apart from sin unto salvation to them that wait for him. He appeared for you the first time to bear your sins in his own body on the tree. He's going to appear the second time apart from sin, to have nothing to do with sin, but to destroy it and to deliver his own, whose precious blood is cleansed them from their sin. He's coming to take them to his Father's house to be with him forever. He's going to come, let the appearing of Christ that last time be a blessing to you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that you have told us of all of these things. We shall have no excuse if we are not saved, our God. You brought us to this place, and the truth of the Scriptures has been preached. The Lord Jesus is presented as the only Savior of sinners, and that the way of salvation is by grace through faith. And so may all, our Father, when thy Son appears the last time on earth, may he appear for their salvation, not for their destruction, not, our God, for them to be among those who miss out on all the eternal bliss that your Son has provided for us. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, that you've gone and prepared a place for us, and you're coming again to receive us to yourself. And so we who have loved you and served you and trusted you, we say, come, Lord Jesus, and complete that salvation that you provided for us. Our Father, we thank you for your Son and all that he is and all that he has done and all that he shall do. We pray, Lord Jesus, for that last appearing in your name. Amen. The meeting is over.